Do turn in your Bibles, if you've got them, to 1 Corinthians. So this is New Testament. It's one of the bigger letters after the four Gospels and Acts. And then you've got the big letter to the Romans. And then the biggish letter to, or two letters to the Corinthians. And it's the first one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to read the first 11 verses. We could actually read the whole chapter, but let's just read the first 11 verses. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. We're in a series called Heaven Calling. And the idea behind this series is very simple, although it's fairly mind-blowing if you really think about it. The idea is that every one of us has been called by God. You have a calling, and it's from God, and it's for you. So just as we begin this morning, I want to encourage you to reflect for a few seconds on the fact that God has a unique calling just for you. We all have a calling, but each person's calling is unique. God isn't in the business of mass marketing. It's specific and unique for you, what he has. So don't let your mind wander, at least not yet. I'll come back to that. But for now, don't let your mind wander to the person, what that might mean for the person sitting next to you, or someone at home, or someone at work. The point of this series is that God's call is unique to you because God has written in a unique and specific part in his plan for the world and for his kingdom, which only you can play. That calling starts with a calling to be the person that God wants you to be. And clearly we have to go through some changes to get to that point because we're all pretty messed up from where God intended. But by God's power, that change can happen. You can become the person that God had in mind when he thought you up because that's what God calls you to be. Then the second aspect of our calling that we looked at is the calling to belong. God calls us to belong to Jesus Christ and to belong, therefore, to his family, which is the church. We don't exist as standalone Christians. We exist as part of a community, and that community is a vital part of our discipleship and our growth and our support and our service and our identity and so on. You cannot be what God purposed you to be without doing your part in a church family. And the church cannot be what God intended it to be and purposed it to be without you doing your part in the church family, because every part of the church is vitally important. It's like a jigsaw. No matter how big it is, might be a 10,000 piece puzzle, even if there's only one piece missing, the jigsaw doesn't look like it should. So we're called to be, and we're called to belong, and then last week we saw how we are called to serve. We are called to do God's work. We're called to enter God's service. We're called to use whatever we have in the way of gifts, talents, brains, resources, time, energies, and so on, to be a part with him in this adventure of bringing God's kingdom down here. Now, there are lots of aspects to our service and our serving. Last week, for example, we thought a bit about our passions, the things that get us excited and worked up. And speaking of being excited, let me just mention that we do have this terribly warped idea sometimes of serving. This is one of the lies that we've bought into, that for something to be serving, it must be something that I don't want to do. If I'm doing something that I enjoy, that can't possibly be service. Now, of course, sometimes service can be painful. Sometimes it can be hard work and sacrificial. That doesn't mean it has to be. The fact is that we were made to serve. That's how God designed us. When God was racking his brain trying to figure out, how do I get them to understand that they were made to serve? The word that came up was gift. Everyone in this room has had the experience of opening a gift that took your breath away. Gifts are exciting. Think back to when you were an 8-year-old child on Christmas Day, excited beyond words because of the gifts you've been given. That is the level of anticipation that we should have as we look at these gifts. And that's what we're going to do this week and next week. We're going to try to understand a bit about the different spiritual gifts that God gives us. These are different from our resources or our passions or our natural abilities. These are specifically spiritual gifts, sometimes called charismatic gifts, because they come from the Holy Spirit. Some of them might sound very normal. Some of them sound thoroughly abnormal, if not crazy dangerous. In fact, this whole topic has been controversial since the very early days of the church. One of the primary passages about the gifts of the Spirit is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, which I read a bit of just there. And it's very easy to give chapter 12 of that letter a cursory reading and assume that Paul is basically saying, these are the gifts of the Spirit, just keep using them like you are already. And actually, I think back to when I first started hearing teaching on charismatic gifts when I was in my early teens. And whether or not this was what people were actually saying, what I heard was, the gifts of the Spirit are about prophecy and healing and speaking in tongues. And it's all very exciting, and we need to do this lots more. Now, it is really exciting, and we do need to do more of this. But, of course, the whole point of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians was that he was saying to them, you guys have gone disastrously wrong here. You're way off track. In a whole load of areas, actually, but not least in this area of using the gifts of the Spirit. They thought that they were experts in it. And Paul's opening sentence in chapter 12 is like a slap in the face. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Because that's exactly what they had been up to this point. Uninformed and ignorant. The practice showed that they had completely misunderstood what the gifts were for, who they were given to, what they represented in terms of spiritual maturity, and maybe even what counted as a spiritual gift or not. In a few minutes, we'll start looking at what some of those gifts are. And I'm conscious of the time. We started late. I know we've had a lot in this service. If anyone sees Bill and the kids come back, then do bring them in, all right? In a few minutes, we'll start looking at some of the gifts today. But let's just cover a few general points about them first. If I'm telling you things that you already know, great. This will be a good recap. If this is all new to you, then listen up, because these principles will help us to avoid going off the rails, as some Christians have done in the past, including the Corinthians. Churches have very often tended to either overemphasize, you know what I'm trying to say, the gifts of the Spirit, or to underemphasize them. And both of those extremes are really bad news. So let's try to understand this so that we can get it right and put it into practice. Firstly, first bit of background, what is a spiritual gift? I think a good definition is that a spiritual gift is a God-given ability which enables a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. So it's not a natural ability. It's something given by God's grace to believers to allow them to serve or minister to or build up the rest of the church. So they're not given for the benefit of individuals. They're given for the benefit of the whole church. Second, who are the gifts of the Spirit given to? And the answer is to you, those of you who are Christians. Paul is clear that every believer is given a gift, or maybe a few gifts. Why? So that every believer can play a part in serving the rest of the church. But while every believer has at least one gift, the third point is that Paul is clear here that nobody has every gift. We need everyone to use their gift, the gift they've been given, because nobody has them all. Then fourthly, there are no gifts that everybody has. There's no suggestion, for example, that every believer is able to speak in tongues. In fact, Paul explicitly says they can't. He does. He says in chapter 14, verse 18, he wishes that everyone else did. He says in chapter 14, verse 5, but they don't, because we all have different gifts. And finally, everyone has the responsibility to discover and develop their spiritual gift, the gifts that they've been given, which is why we're talking about this subject. Incidentally, one obvious question is, what are all the spiritual gifts? What's the list of them? And actually, that's not a very easy question to answer. Go on. It's not a very easy question to answer because spiritual gifts are discussed in several different places in the New Testament. And every time they're written about, there's a different list, even within the same letter. So by my count, there are about 24 described. But I don't think there is an exclusive or exhaustive list of gifts given by the Spirit to build up the body of Christ. You'll sometimes read books or articles that list and define the gifts of the Spirit very precisely. I'm kind of nervous about that, because any time that we start limiting God as to what he can do, I think we're on pretty dangerous ground. But broadly speaking, these are the ones that are described in the New Testament. So, that said, in a minute we're going to start looking in detail at some of those gifts to understand a bit more about what they are and how they're used. But I want to say two more things before we start on that list. Firstly, one of the other things that Paul says in 1 Corinthians that I think is a timely word in our culture is this: beware of bringing part of the celebrity culture of the world to church, especially in the area of spiritual gifts. Paul says that in the church there is no room for celebrity. There is no room for an A list of gifts and a B list of gifts. In fact, Paul goes on to say in chapter 12, verse 21 onwards, that God, in order to prevent that tendency, has decided that the weaker parts of the body are actually indispensable. Here's what he says: those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices in it. Sometimes the gifts that are more visible and up front get all the attention, and the gifts that are more behind the scenes kind of gifts we just forget about, or we ignore, or we categorize as not quite good enough to do the real stuff. And God says, don't do that. Honor the people whose gifts are behind the scenes. Then the last thing I want to say before we start looking at some of these gifts in detail is that I said a few minutes ago that everyone has the responsibility to discover and develop and use the spiritual gifts that God gave them. And I also said at the beginning of this sermon that you shouldn't get distracted by what God's plan is for other people. My point was that I want you to realize that you are part of God's plan. Please do keep thinking about that. But now, I want to reverse that slightly, because I want to ask you to do something else today as well, and in the days that come, and that is, what can you see about other people's spiritual gifts? The thing is, it's often easier for us to see spiritual gifts in other people than it is for them to see their own. So if you do see a gift in someone, please tell them. I would love us to be a community that names each other's gifts. If they don't know what their gift is, it'll get them thinking and exploring. If they've already got an idea, it will confirm it for them. If they know very well what their gift is, it will affirm and encourage them to use it. So keep an eye open for other people's gifts, as well as trying to identify and use your own. Okay, so let's look at some of the gifts in detail, and we'll look at more next week with less introduction. The six I want us to think about this morning could be called gifts of the heart. And interestingly, they are all things which we're all, to some extent, called to do, although we'll see that some people are specifically gifted in these areas. First one, the spiritual gift of service or helping. Sometimes this is described as the gift of helps. I get terribly frustrated when we put jargon words into things that don't make any sense and words that we wouldn't normally use in English. The spiritual gift of helping. This is the ability to work alongside others to help that person complete the task that God has given them. People with this gift tend to find joy in helping to alleviate the burdens and responsibilities of others. Very often, they work behind the scenes. They're often very practical people. They will attach spiritual value to the accomplishment of very practical tasks. This gift is often accompanied by an attitude of humility and an ability to perceive the needs of others. They notice things that need to be done that other people just don't see, and they love to do those things. Please understand that the spiritual gift of service or helping is very different to low self-esteem. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm not worthy of doing anything else, so okay, just give me whatever's left over. Someone with the spiritual gift of helping does not see it that way at all. Their joy rises to the highest level when they can just pitch in and help. Number two, the spiritual gift of hospitality. This isn't just about inviting people into your home, although that can be an important factor in it. This is the ability that some people have that their first response in a given situation is that they want to move towards people and provide a warm welcome. They communicate to people that this is what God would do if he were physically present in flesh and blood right now. I heard about a guy who was in charge of the team of stewards at his church. He had the gift of hospitality. And every week he would meet with his team of stewards and ushers and say, "You're not just passing out bulletins. You're not just greeting people. You are chapter one in their story today. You are communicating by the way that you respond to them the welcoming nature of God. So do it well." People with the spiritual gift of hospitality are people who love to create safe environments. And you love to set people at ease. If there's a meeting, you don't care what the meeting's about. You just want to have the meeting at your house. When people come into your home, you have an inner sense of being used by God because you're feeding people and letting people rest and recuperate and take care of business. That's the gift of hospitality. Number three, the spiritual gift of mercy. Some of you have the spiritual gift of mercy. God has wired you to particularly perceive the suffering of other people. You comfort and minister with empathy. You move alongside other people who are suffering. You have a radar for people that are in pain, a sense for when a person is hurting, and you get alongside them and you ask questions and you care about the answers. You have a concern about social issues and justice and things that oppress people. You are compassion moved to action. If this is you, you want to make a difference in the lives of hurting people without being judgmental. You might even appear naive at times when you try to evaluate the intentions of others, because you find yourself responding to people more out of compassion than judgment. Number four, the spiritual gift of faith. Now, this might sound surprising. Aren't we all supposed to have faith? Well, this is not the same as the faith that we all need in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you have the spiritual gift of faith, you have an ability to recognize what it is that God wants accomplished, and then you have a solid belief that God will do it. You're like an oak tree when the rest of us are like little willow saplings blowing around in the wind. You are firm. You act with complete confidence in God's ability to work. You move forward when the rest of us are standing still or even moving backwards. And you may be really confused about why people who follow Jesus worry. It makes no sense to you at all. If I'm describing it you right now, you're thinking, well, sure, doesn't everyone feel that way? And the answer is no, we don't. Not everyone feels that way. And those of us who have that gift are wonderful for the rest of us to be around when our own faith is wavering. People with this gift tend to be optimistic, hopeful, persevering, and focused on the future. And they also tend to be very convincing about the truth of Scripture, because they themselves are so convinced about the truth and power of God and His Word. That's the gift of faith. Number five, the spiritual gift of giving. This is an interesting one. If you have the spiritual gift of giving, you have a very different way of looking at money than most of us do, because people with this gift genuinely view their stuff, their treasures, their talents and time as being on loan from God and not their own. You give from your money and your possessions freely and with real joy to further the work of God. You don't have to be wealthy to have this gift. You look at the amount of money that comes in every month and you think frequently about how you can live on less in order to free up more to give. You limit your lifestyle and you manage your finances in order that you are freed up to be able to give money away. People with this gift do not ask, how much money do I need to give to God? They ask, how much money do I need to live on? Last one today, number six, a spiritual gift of prayer. This is actually not on any of those lists in Romans or Corinthians or Ephesians, but I firmly believe this is a spiritual gift. This is a gift of prayer or intercession. It's the special ability God gives to some people to pray for extended periods of time on a regular basis and see frequent and specific answers to their prayers to an extent and a degree much greater than most of us expect. These are the people who tell you that they're going to pray for you, and they really do it. The rest of us half the time say it and then forget it. We have to write it on a post-it note or something if we're going to remember. People with this gift feel compelled to earnestly pray on behalf of someone or some cause. They have a daily awareness of the spiritual battles being waged and pray about them. They are convinced that God moves in direct response to prayer. They pray in response to the leading of the Spirit, whether they understand it or not. They exercise authority and power for the protection of others and the equipping of them to serve. We really have run out of time. We're going to look at more gifts next week. So if you've been listening to this and you're thinking, none of these fit me at all, don't worry. There's lots more to come next week. Equally, if you've heard things today and you're thinking, gosh, I know exactly who that is, then as I say, do tell them, encourage people with this. Let's just pray quickly before we hand back to Lynn. Father, thank you for these gifts. Thank you that you give so generously and freely these gifts to build up your church and build up your people. Lord, we want to understand what our gifts are. We want to understand how to use them. And we want to be better at just getting on with it and actually using them so that we can build up your church. Lord, would you teach us and encourage us and grow us as people and as your people as we go through these. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.